In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, as we begin now Paul's letter to the Galatians, we pray to be open to the gift of your Spirit and to discerning what it is that the Spirit inspired in Paul to write this beautiful piece, and that our hearts may be open to the message you want to share with each one of us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this morning we do what I promised we'd do. We actually get straight into the text. And we're beginning with what seems to me, but I have already warned you, it's a minority view, but what seems to me to be Paul's earliest letter. I'm going to give you the history of the couple of years prior to his writing, just to get you into the setting, the history as I'm interpreting it for you. In the year 47 AD, and the dates cannot be said with certainty, it's a probability, Paul visited Jerusalem with Barnabas, and we know that story from the Acts of the Apostles, and I suggest to you that on that visit he discussed how to handle Gentile converts to Christianity, granted that before that Christianity was almost entirely Jewish for obvious reasons. So this was a question that concerned the early church, and he discussed it, as we'll hear today in our letter, with Peter and John, two of the apostles, and another, James, who's not one of the apostles but is the brother of the Lord and the leading presbyter in the Jerusalem community. After that meeting he went back to Antioch, he and Barnabas, and they were sent out on a mission, which I'll describe for you more clearly with a map in a moment. And that mission took them to the cities of southern Galatia, in our terms, southern Turkey, just north of Cyprus. So it took them to those cities, and it would have lasted a year, year and a half, something like that. Don't get the impression it was a quick journey, because they're travelling on foot, and they're travelling on donkey, and they're travelling by small boat, and there's a lot of hard work in it. And here's the quote from Acts 14, verse 26. They sailed back to Antioch, where they called the church together. This is after their journey. They called the church together and related all that God had done with them, and how God had opened a door of faith for the Gentiles. And they stayed there, in Antioch, with the disciples for some time. That's how Luke tells us. I suggest that in that some time, these happened. In 48, towards the end of the year, a group from Jerusalem of Christians came up to Antioch, and they also went to Galatia, which is the area of southern where Paul had just visited, went to these areas opposing Paul's what they called neglect of the Torah, because Paul was not insisting that converts from the Greek and Roman and whatever other world, he didn't insist that the men become circumcised, and that they follow the law, and that they eat Jewish food, and they in fact become Jews. He didn't insist on that. His whole point was, you can become a Christian by attachment to Jesus without changing your culture. Okay? That's Paul's preaching. These people disagreed with him. And we know from the Acts, here they are, Acts chapter 15 verse 1, Luke tells us, certain individuals came down from Judea, down, they're going north, but down because Jerusalem is higher up, it's down closer to the sea level, but north, came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. That's their point of view. And we know from the letter to the Galatians, which we're about to read, that they had the same opinion when they went to Galatia. So there's trouble brewing already in these young Christian communities. Clear? I suggest, this is what I'm following, that on that occasion from Antioch, Paul wrote this, his first letter to the Galatians. And he wrote it before the Council of Jerusalem, which decided the matter. Here's a quotation from Acts chapter 15, verse 2. After Paul and Barnabas had no small discussion and debate with them, with this group, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to discuss the question with the apostles and the elders, which they did, and that discussion is the famous, almost the first council of the church, but the Jerusalem assembly in the year 49. That assembly, and this is my basic reason, which I explained in those notes I gave you last week, that assembly made two major decisions which are told us in the Acts of the Apostles by Luke, whom I'm following faithfully because, as I said last week, Luke is a good historian, did his homework, and knows a lot more about what went on than we or modern scholars might think we know. So they made two decisions. One is the Council of Jerusalem rejected the position of those people that were troubling the Galatian church and the Antioch church, who said, as I just read, unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. The council said, no, that's not true, and they didn't have any authority from us when they came down and troubled you. That's a very clear decision of the Jerusalem community, Peter, John, James, and the others. Gentile Christians did not have to be circumcised, and they did not have to keep the law of Moses to become a believer in Jesus. They made a second decision, which is a secondary, not as important. The second decision is they issued some instructions, however, which you can find in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verse 29, and then at the end of the chapter. And these instructions made it possible for Jews and Gentiles to share the one table, come together in a meal, and of course the meal we're talking about is primarily the Eucharist, so it's a very important meal, to come together in that meal without weakening the sense of identity of Jews during a period of growing tension with Rome. We've got to keep that in mind. There's more and more Rome. Jerusalem is to be destroyed in the year 70. There's a build-up already going on in the year 49, 50, the different groups who are wanting to be independent of Rome. So there's a lot of tension. And being a Jew is difficult at this time. And so the Christian Jews were very vulnerable. Jews were, and the Christian Jews as well. So they've got brothers and sisters who are Jews. They're very sensitive to them. And so the Jerusalem church said to Paul, okay, we agree with you. You don't have to become a Jew to become a Christian. That's clear. But if a community is made up of Jews and Gentiles together, we want the Gentiles to be sensitive to the Jewish system. Like, they're not allowed to eat certain meats, you know, the kosher food, etc. So we expect the Gentiles to eat and follow customs in the social setting that don't disturb or hurt the Jewish brothers and sisters. That was a good decision, a pastoral decision, and a very sensitive one. And Paul took it on board, and we know later on, when Paul went back to Antioch, and then he was sent out again on a second mission, which is going to take him to Greece, he, it says, the Acts of the Apostles reads, chapter 16, verse 4, as they went from town to town, back in through Galatia, they delivered to them the observance, for observance, the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders that were in Jerusalem. Okay, I think I've said enough to give you the setting. And my reasons, putting it as simple as I can, though they're much more complex than this, the reason why I'm suggesting that the letter to the Galatians was written prior to the Jerusalem assembly is that the argument in the letter to the Galatians is exactly the argument that was going on at the Jerusalem assembly, and Paul does not quote it, though it would be his ace card. He would have had to have said, I think, wait a minute, this was decided not only by me, but by Peter and James and John. They all agreed, so you people are wrong. That's a pretty big argument. He doesn't use that argument. I suggest he doesn't use it because he's writing before it. And that the Jerusalem Assembly affirmed what Paul has written to the Galatians. All right? It's not agreed to by everybody, but that's my reason. That journey that Paul took, that I spoke about in 47, 48, that first missionary journey of Paul, he's here, he'd gone down to Jerusalem with some food for the famine to help them out. He'd had this discussion with the elders, the main elders. We're going to read about it today, and you've read about it in your homework before you came. So he's going to have that discussion. He goes back to Antioch, and bolstered and encouraged by the leadership of the Christian church in Jerusalem, including Peter, the leader of the community, he then, from Antioch, he and Barnabas were sent out on this missionary journey to, because Christianity was obviously, a lot of Gentiles in Antioch were becoming Christians, and they saw that this is wonderful, let's go wider, it's a mission, go to the ends of the earth, huh? So they did, and Barnabas was in charge. He's the elder of them, and he was the leader. He's sent up from Jerusalem earlier, and a great man, obviously. Barnabas and Paul, with Barnabas's cousin, Mark, presumably the author of our gospel, Mark, they head off for Cyprus, where Barnabas, that's his hometown, home country. They land there at Salamis. They journey by boat, or we're not told, overland, probably boat, round to Paphos, where the proconsul was, the Roman proconsul, whose name is the same as Paul's. We did it last week, Sergius Paulus. Paulos is Paul's name too. And then they go by a small boat, smaller than the big liners. He went to this little river port of Perga in this pretty malarial country, and then went straight up to Antioch, which is actually where Sergius Paulus' family were. I suggested to you, didn't I, last week, that he may well have gone with a... Sergius Paulus may have said, look, start in Antioch, because my family are there, they'll welcome you. Here's a letter of introduction. We don't know any of that, but it's not unlikely. So, he goes up to Antioch. We read about his preaching there and so on. Then they went down to Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. These are both in, actually, they're in what's called Phrygia. That's the geographical name of this area. Phrygia was a big area here, and both Antioch and Iconium are in Phrygia. Then they went south a bit to Lystra and Derbe, which are in a place called Lycaonia, another little geographical area, tribal area, you might say. So they're around this part here, and then they came home to Antioch. The big argument, as I explained last week, and we'll only spend a minute on again, is Galatia is a tricky term in that time, and there's a big debate still going on about all of this, because there's a territory called Galatia after the Gauls, the Celts, who came from the Caucasian mountains, etc., raided this whole area and were very powerful at one stage, but now they're a landlocked people in this part here. That's Galatia. It's actually north of these cities, which are in Phrygia and Lycaonia. However, the Romans, when they set up their provinces, had a province called Galatia, and the province extended not only in the territory of Galatia, but it included these cities, you see. So when Paul is writing to the Galatians, some hold, I used to hold, because the majority opinion says this, more, that he was writing to the northern territory of Galatia. I now think that's wrong, so I changed my mind. I can't imagine changing it again because I've gone into it so thoroughly, but you never know. It seems to me now more likely that Paul was writing to the Galatians, to these people here that he had visited on his first journey. I won't prove it to you, I can't prove it to you, but that's the opinion I'm following. And then, having come back here to Antioch, this group, which we just spoke about, came up from Jerusalem, or down from Jerusalem, to Antioch, saying, no, 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 you're doing wrong, this is incorrect, and they were pretty determined, and they sent people over here to the Galatian cities, going round after Paul, saying, Paul sold you something not real. The Christianity he's preaching to you was too soft. It's too easy. You don't have to follow the Torah. You don't have to follow the law. You know, you'll never be saved that way. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to become Jews. The people themselves, of course, had already been living a very, I suppose, strange life, meaningless life. They found Christianity beautifully meaningful, but they're still scared of going back into sin and being lost, you know, and getting caught up again in old habits and all that. So if you're that way and you're a little bit new at something, you're an easy victim, aren't you, of someone who comes in on the right wing, very determined and very sure of themselves, and they've got the Bible to prove it, and they're showing you that you've got to follow the law. Most of us would be pretty vulnerable to that kind of teaching. So out of insecurity, we'd say, oh, I'm sorry, we didn't know. And that's what's going on in Galatia. Paul knows about it, hears about it, and writes perhaps his most passionate letter straight back to these people. We're about to get into the passion now.